coalition forces have begun striking selected targets of military importance.
It would be a decision which could only be taken once.
There's no argument over the choice between peace and war.
Unconfirmed reports about Gaddafi being captured.
This morning, I want to talk about the future of Europe.
Burning Point.
Welcome to the show with me, Екатерина Кудашкина. On Friday, the UN General Assembly's Third Committee voted on the resolution combating glorification of Nazism, neo-Nazism and other practices that contribute to fueling contemporary forms of racism, racial discrimination, xenophobia and related intolerance. The resolution, submitted by Russia, has been adopted by 115 votes against 3. The US, Canada and Ukraine oppose the move. The position of Ukraine is particularly deplorable and alarming, says a statement made by the Russian Foreign Ministry. It is hard to understand how the country, whose people have fully experienced the horrors of Nazism and made a remarkable contribution to overall victory over it, can vote against the document condemning Nazism glorification. End quote. The lack of an adequate response to neo-Nazis in Ukraine will lead to its expansion into Europe, and that's what Russian Foreign Ministry's Human Rights Ombudsman Konstantin Dolgov said Monday. However, what is also quite appalling are the 55 abstentions. The abstained are mostly NATO countries and their allies. It looks like the mere fact that these states, many of them suffered from Hitler, opted not to commit themselves openly to supporting an anti-NATO motion, and that tells a sad story. We're now joined by our guest speaker, Jean-Yves Camus, who is a political analyst and an associated research fellow at IRIS.
The United States and Canada voted against, as well as the Ukraine, and all the EU member countries abstained. This is a result that, of course, has to do with the international situation. But I really feel that this kind of resolution should have been voted not with regard to what's happening in the Ukraine, but with regard to the real problem itself. That is, there exists today in a part of Europe a glorification of the Nazi past, and this is a problem we have to tackle.
How bad is this problem? Because we used to talk about the rise of ultra-rightist parties, which in fact had shown good results at general elections in those countries.
Yes, the rise of the national populist parties is a real problem, but also in several countries, especially in Eastern Europe, the governments and a significant part of the public opinion have the feeling that the Soviet rule and the Nazi rule are to be seen as two different sides of the same token, which of course is totally false given what happened during the Second World War. But in several of those countries, the governments and part of the public opinion are trying to impose a vision that communism on one side and national socialism on the other side are two kind of totalitarian ideals that are almost similar.
But why would they do that?
They do that because they resent the period when they were under, when they were part of the Soviet Union as some kind of an occupation, which in their eyes is very much similar to that of the Nazis. And of course, this is totally unbearable. This is not the truth, because if you want to be critical towards communism, then of course this is totally fine with me. But you cannot, and this is simply not possible, you cannot hide the fact that National Socialism was something totally different, with the mass extermination of people, with the mass extermination of the Jews. And what stands behind this glorification of Nazism in several of those countries is the fact that the Nazis were not alone in exterminating the Jews, for example. There was also a local collaboration with the Nazis, and local people took part in the mass murders of the Jews at that time. And this is something that the governments today, especially in the Baltic states, for example, but also in, let's say, Romania and other countries, have not totally accepted. There is a need for the historical truth to be assessed in those countries, and this is still not be done properly.
Sir, when we are talking about Nazis in Germany in 1930s, in fact, as far as I understand, their rise was largely contributed to the general downturn in the global economy. Are there any parallels with the current situation?
I don't want to say that the present situation in Europe is similar to that of the 1920s, because the rise of Nazism was not only the result of a very bad economic situation, it also had to do with a very weak state following the end of the German Empire and the loss of the First World War. And it also had to do with the attitude of part of the conservative right, which did not see the rise of Nazism, or which did not properly assess what the Nazi Party was. Part of the conservative right, even the Christian right in Germany, did not stand against the National Socialist Party when it was still in the minority. And in the end, they believed that the Nazi Party could be an ally in their fight against communism. And this proved to be, a total mistake.
Absolutely. But now we can see that the neo-Nazi are also quite instrumental in organizing all kinds of revolts, like we've seen in Ukraine.
Yes, and also the neo-Nazis, or at least parties with a strong neo-Nazi slant, are successful in the polls and in Hungary with the Jobbik party and in Greece. And it's totally incredible that in a time of economic crisis, in a country like Greece, which is a member of the EU, a party with clear neo-Nazi credentials can rise to several dozens of members in parliament until the crackdown, which was ordered by the Greek government last year. So there is a possibility today, not only in the Ukraine, but also in other countries as well, that parties belonging to the most radical part of the extreme right might take advantage of not only the economic crisis, but the, I would say, the weakness of European democracy to rise to unprecedented heights since 1945. We used to believe that Nazism and the extreme right were dead after 1945. And once again, this is totally false.
Sir, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And just to remind you, our guest speaker was Jean-Yves Camus, an Associated Research Fellow at IRIS, France. This is Burning Point. We're discussing the UN vote on a resolution against Nazi glorification. Well, Latvia is one of those European countries where the neo-Nazi are openly supported by authorities in different levels. And therefore, we decided to turn to our next guest speaker, Valerie Engel, first vice president of World Without Nazism, International Human Rights Movement.
This result I expected because all this year the United States and Canada, they voted so like they voted yesterday. And the reason is, for example, why United States voted so, because they have the Second Amendment to the Bill of Rights, to the Constitution, where it's written that it is prohibited, it is impossible to prohibit an expression of an opinion in any form and in any place. And that is the reason. And I think that that is the reason of why Canada voted so like they voted. And it is the reason also of the position of the Western European countries. The other situation is in Ukraine and in the countries of the Eastern Europe, because Ukraine declared that they voted against because they demanded to equalize the Nazism and Stalinism, the Nazism and communism. And that is the reason.
But when we're talking about the amendment to the U.S. Constitution, that amendment did not, as far as I remember, prevent them from fighting Hitler.
Yes, of course, why not? If you are against it, you can fight against him, you can make another demonstration, but it's impossible to prohibit any expression of your opinion.
Well, yeah.
You can do that. Just if you are for Nazism, just if you want to tell that Nazism is good, And this clarification is possible by the American law because it's the freedom of speech and freedom of expression. My position is that any glorification of the Nazism is not okay. And if you want, for example, to remember the soldiers of the Hitler army, of the soldiers of Waffen-SS, you can do it in the cemetery, for example, and like Estonian people do it for the last 2 years. But to make it in the center of the city, by my point of view, it's glorification. But you see, it is another position of the other states. For example, the Ukrainian point of view, they told that they voted against this resolution not because they had this amendment in constitution about the freedom of speech. They voted because they want to equalize the Nazism and communism, and it is dangerous.
Why?
It's dangerous because, first of all, the reason of this equalization will be the trivialization of Holocaust. In this situation, the Holocaust would be some of the martyrs what committed a lot during the war. It's ordinary thing, it's okay, and it's dangerous.
When we're talking about the overall trends, I'm not an expert on these issues, but I have a feeling that the reluctance to support this kind of resolution reflects a trend of a growing Nazi spirit in the civilized, so-called civilized world. Is my impression correct, or is it a bit too far-fetched?
Of course it's dangerous, and by my point of view, the situation of the radical national in general situation with the radical nationalism in Europe, it's very bad. And from this point of view, of course, the refuse of the some countries to support this resolution is bad for the general situation in these countries. Because we have to speak in this situation about the attitude, first of all, of the young population to the glorification of Nazism in the European countries.
What is the appeal of Nazi ideology for the young? Because we see, both in Ukraine and elsewhere, that there are a lot of young people involved.
They are looking for the national idea.
National idea.
They are looking for the national idea. Unfortunately, they can't find another good idea in their history because they have to find something that can show the nation, and by nation they understand the ethnic, or they understand the tradition of the ethnic. They are looking this idea to support the national development.
But isn't it really dangerous? I mean, they seem to be used as instruments.
It's dangerous because today, during the globalization of the world, during the globalization of economy, when the people are moving, a lot of people are moving from the one country to another, and first of all, the former Soviet Union, where the most of population are international, is of course dangerous because it can make a problem between the several ethnic groups of the population, and of course it can weaken the society.
Is there any force which is interested in sustaining and supporting those misled young people?
You mean about the radical parties, about the radical groups?
Yes, I'm referring to radical groups,
yes,
I'm referring to neo-Nazi, I'm referring to...
It is a border between the neo-Nazis and the radicals. But anyway, you don't have now any country in the European Union where the national radicals would be not the member of the parliament. And it's dangerous because these mistakes in the European integration, they're used by the European radicals for coming to the power. And the last election to the European Parliament, we can see that a lot of radicals from all Europe, they came to the Parliament, and we have seen the great success of the Le Pen party in France, and just the German nationalists and the British nationalists. I think there are today a lot of political parties who are using this situation for their own political goals.
Well, but nationalists and Nazi are a bit different, aren't they?
Of course. We can speak about the radicals, we can speak about the not radicals, we can speak about the neo-Nazis. Because there is a big difference between the different understanding of what is it nationalism. Because if you are patriot, if you are struggling for your own culture, for your own tradition, it's okay. But if you are struggling against the culture and tradition of your neighbors, it's radical.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Engel.
Thank you.
And just to remind you, this time our guest speaker was Valerie Engel, first Vice President of World Without Nazism, international human rights movement in Latvia. Well, and now we end this edition of Burning Point, brought to you by me, Ekaterina Kudashkina. Thank you so much for staying with us. Goodbye, and take care.